Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dry weather in South America and inflated demand from China are creating some welcome opportunities for U.S. farmers. Kevin McNew is chief economist for the Farmers Business Network, and he returns to In the Moment to talk about the opportunities of 2021. Kevin, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
So as I look out my window here in the southeast corner of the state and watch the snow swirl around, I'm wondering, what does January mean for farmers and producers? What kind of decisions and purchases and plans are they making at this time of year?
Yeah, it's a time for reassessing and certainly looking at their operations and making decisions for the 21 growing season. This is going to be one of the better chances for farmers to really make some good ground in terms of profitability this year. We have prices that are just astronomically strong. I think, when I was on your program 2 months ago, right ahead of Thanksgiving, we were talking about kind of the stage being set for what could be a pretty positive outlook, and we've just kind of hit a new level of high. Prices are up. In the case of corn, in the last 5 months, we've gained 75%. So we've gone from a corn price that was pretty dismal at $2.90 a bushel to now well over $5 across the country. And I think there's still more upside as we move forward here.
All right. Tell us exactly what's happening to sort of cause this right now. Why is it so positive at this moment? Especially, Kevin, when everything else feels a little bleak.
Exactly. I mean, and 5 months ago, it seemed bleak in agriculture. I mean, we were facing the same negative issues that the broader economy was. COVID was, causing problems in our supply chain and ethanol and the meat sector. We had what seemed like really good weather, in June, July. But that all kind of shifted around to August. August kind of made us realize it was getting dry, especially in parts of Iowa and Nebraska. We had this big derecho wind event that really kind of took a pretty significant toll across Iowa at FBN. We did a pretty intensive poll of our 15,000 farmers and found about 25% of the crop was damaged. That damage is now fully realized. We just got a final USDA number on the crop from 2020, and we realized just how bad it is. And so, heading into the fall, it looked positive. And then we turned to South America, and with La Nina in place, the kind of well-known weather phenomenon that oscillates between El Nino and La Nina, La Nina spelled problems for South America, and that playbook has materialized as well. So they're having crop problems. And then the third leg of this bullish story is really, like you said, the China demand. China has a really strong appetite for commodities right now to rebuild their hog herd. And so all these forces are kind of meeting at once to give us kind of a super cycle feel to what's going on in the grain markets.
All right. So tell us about, there's a mindset and then there's action to take. What sort of mindset do farmers and producers need to get into right now to take advantage of some of the, benefits that, another weather event could change drastically?
Yeah. I mean, I think you raise a good point. I mean, I think there's kind of there's the mindset that farmers will look at the paradigm and go, oh my gosh, markets are exploding. I'm just going to sit on my hands and do nothing. And for a while, that's a good strategy because markets keep going up. And every day you look at the Chicago market and you say, gee, it went up another 10 to 20 cents. I just made more money by doing nothing. But eventually that story runs out and eventually bull markets do end. I'm not saying they're going to end anytime soon, but we could certainly have some corrections with markets moving down. So farmers who are still sitting on inventory of 2020, and I know, in Nebraska and South Dakota, we know that there's still quite a bit of corn out there. So, depending on cash needs, be mindful about, when you need to make a decision and the market is up, kind of just pull the trigger and don't look back. I think, what's going to be challenging is 2021, because I think those markets, as farmers look ahead on the futures market for what the market is trading for next year's crop, Those prices are now starting to get up to decent levels, but I think there's still more upside. And so as they're making planting decisions, you know, I think they need to kind of look at what the future price is in Chicago and basically gauge where they should be making those planting decisions. I think soybeans in particular will probably see a little more upside in the coming months because of the problems in South America. And so I think there'll be quite a few farmers that have a little more interest in soybeans in the coming year than they did last year.
Sure. Let's talk about, you know, the operations and equipment and expansions and things like that. Are there good decisions to make right now about building for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, most farmers in the industry recognize that these kind of cycles are at best, you know, a couple of years. You know, you'll have kind of these once in a decade kind of moments where prices really shoot up sharply. And so they have, you know, what I would say is this year, next year, and potentially the year after to see pretty decent prices, you know, prices that are going to be quite a bit above break even and fairly profitable. So that'll be a point of expansion, buying new equipment, maybe expanding land holdings, things of that nature that are kind of long-term strategic plays. But, you know, keep in mind that market cycle and that, you know, there's going to be a response from high prices, that more U.S. producers will grow more grain, South America will grow more grain. So, you know, eventually we will kind of return, maybe not to the lows we saw this summer because that was kind of COVID-induced, but I do think, you know, we'll get back down to kind of normal levels. So I just want to caution producers that, and I think most of them know this, that have been in the industry long enough, that, you know, these opportunities are good, but don't sort of look at this as a long-term shift that we're going to be at these levels for, you know, 4 or 5 years to come solid, that it is really kind of a few year type of framework to make your decisions on.
Yeah. Also a good message for policymakers and people who don't work in agriculture. It's not an excuse to not pay attention to what's happening very closely,
right,
with the ag industry in the state. Last time we talked about, you know, sort of early expectations of a change in administrations in Washington. And now I want to ask you, you know, for the incoming Biden administration, what should they be paying attention to? What are the lessons of the last few years that you really think they should listen to farmers about?
Yeah, I think probably the most important thing for agriculture in U.S. terms is free trade. You know, we need access to markets. This cycle we're in now is largely fueled by our access to China. And so obviously, if we go back to a few years ago, you know, we were in the heart of a trade war, and that was very devastating to our potential. And so I think the Biden administration understands that, and so I don't think we'll have the flare-ups we've had like what we did a few years ago. But, you know, we need access to China. We need access to some of these emerging markets in Southeast Asia, because the U.S. is a competitive force. We are a low-cost supplier of agricultural products, but we need free trade. We need access to those markets. And when trade is restricted in some form through tariffs or quotas, then it really sort of hampers our opportunity.
So here in South Dakota, Kevin, the new legislation is going to allow for industrial hemp and medical marijuana and legalization of marijuana. And there's a whole lot of things that need to be decided about that yet, including some lawsuits that have to play out. But what I'm wondering, if things move forward and farmers are making decisions about whether or not to add something, you know, to their overall production, does the way that the market is right now impact some of those decisions? I guess what I'm wondering is, if soybeans are doing so well, why would I try to, you know, monkey with something new? Or people tend to really invest in something and get in on it in the ground floor. Like, any insight that we might sort of see how the timing of this would impact farmers' decisions in the state about what they want to do with hemp or grow operations?
Yeah, I think your intuition is exactly right. I mean, when the markets are really strong and you can make money doing what you've always done, why would you go tinker at the margin with something that you're not really sure about? So whether it's hemp, you know, we've talked about sustainable ag practices on your show before. You know, those are, or even, you know, kind of more traditional stuff like going organic. All of these different practices involve cost to the farmer. They involve new ways of doing their operation. They usually can't scale to the type of size that they're used to. So, you know, you're exactly right. When the corn and soybean markets are screaming through the roof, and farmers can make money doing what they know how to do best, they're going to just stay the status quo. So I think you're right. I think things like hemp, things like regenerative ag, things like organic adoption, those things will slow. I won't say they'll go away, but, you know, they would certainly slow because, you know, the base markets are really so strong.
Yeah. Any other thoughts before we let you go of other things? We had a conversation, I think, a week ago about, you know, equipment innovation and stuff. When is it time to, you know, are there early adopters? Is there a time to early adopt some kind of new equipment? How do people make those decisions about changing some of their, you know, basic operations in that way?
Yeah, well, and I think this is the right time to be doing it, right? You want to make bold steps. You want to adopt new things when things are good because, you know, A, you can afford, you know, investments that are potentially more costly. And B, you know, costs of mistakes are not as amplified when you have $5 corn versus $2 corn. So again, I think, you know, like we talked about earlier, I think, you know, this will be an opportunity for farmers to reinvest or even double down to some extent on their production capacity, whether it's through acreage, whether it's through equipment, whatever the case may be. So I do think technology is always driving U.S. agriculture. There are always early adopters out there that are making these decisions. So I think this only exacerbates that trend.
Yeah. Kevin McNew with the Farmers Business Network, Chief Economist. Thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate your time.
You bet. Thank you.